May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I was thinking about this verse in John 19 again at the crucifixion. Just remember the scene once again as all this stuff unfolded. Jesus had told the disciples that they would all abandon him, and they all did. When all of this began to unfold, Peter had denied him. Judas had done what Judas was going to do. The other 10 fled, as Peter did, in fear of being associated with Jesus as any kind of close follower, because they knew the consequences could be their very death. And as they flee, at some point, John stops, and he goes back to the cross. And Mary's there, the mother of Jesus, at the cross. And then we have a group of women that included Mary Magdalene and Mary, the wife of Clopas, the mother of James and Joseph. They're watching from a distance the crucifixion. Again, trying to keep far away, because if you're associated as too close of a follower, it could have been their last day on earth. But at some point, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary decide that from a distance wasn't enough. And so they make their way also to the cross. So here you have Jesus on the cross. You have Mary, his mother, there, and then two other Marys, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who had both just come down from the distance, and they're standing there with her, and then beside them is John the Beloved. We talked about this some yesterday, and one of the curious things I thought of about Mary and John is that if you remember from Mark chapter 14, and we've read that at some point in the last week or so, where it talks about Mary Magdalene wasting her life on Jesus. It was the second time that we know that she, or the third time, the first one being when she first met Jesus, that she's pouring out oil from alabaster vial, the spikenard oil. This is the third time, just before the crucifixion, and she breaks the alabaster vial, pours all of it on his head. They rebuke her a second time. They had done it earlier, a couple days before, about why this waste, this money, this oil could have been sold. The money could have been given to the poor. And then Jesus corrects them, and he says, you don't understand what this woman has done to me, not just for me, but to me. And she has prepared my body for burial. And whatever what she has done, wherever the gospel is preached in all the world, will be repeated. Now think about what it says about Mary, that what one of the things that Mary knew and understood, because this one who Jesus loved so much, she loved him back, with such extravagance, to the point where she was the first one he revealed himself to in the resurrection, that what she had a revelation of, what she had encountered the first time she met him, was just the fierceness and the unconditional quality of his love for her, the great passion he had for her. And it wrecked her world. She was set free from 7 demons. It was a transformational moment. And the rest of the time we find her, she's always starting there at the feet of Jesus, even here at the cross. Once again, she's standing at the feet of Jesus. What revelation it says that she had about preparing his body for burial is I believe that she understood that Jesus' love for her and for everyone else would take him that far. The disciples, most of them didn't seem to really get that part, though I think John did, but she got that. And therefore, she knew he was going to die. And he was going to do that because of his sacrificial love, the intensity of his love. And so the only response that she could give was to waste everything in her life and her love on him. Now there she is at the cross, encountering what doesn't surprise her, that Jesus' love would take him that far. And when she poured out that oil on his head, she was saying, my love for you in response will take me that far if necessary. But I think what John was feeling was a little bit different. Because you know, the two sort of remarkable events is that Mary's the first person Jesus reveals himself to post-resurrection. But John is the first person who believed after the resurrection. And if you remember the story in John 20, as Mary goes into the dark to the tomb, finds a stone rolled away, she wasn't expecting resurrection. She was stunned that the stone was rolled away, ran to tell Peter and John that somebody had taken his body. She didn't go and say, he's obviously risen. She didn't know that was true until he revealed himself to her. This great lover of God, this great lover of Christ, that history records that she had a relationship with him, a love relationship with him that was maybe unique to anybody else who's ever lived in terms of her passion for him. So she goes and tells them, and they go running to the tomb. John faster, but he stops, kind of peeks in, stops. Peter goes running in, sees everything. Then John goes in, and it says about him in John chapter 20. And it says, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings and rolled up by itself, was to the side. And then entered in therefore the other disciple, the one who had come to the tomb, and he saw, speaking of John himself, and he believed. Again, why was it so easy for him to believe? If Mary's wrecked journey began with her first encounter, I believe John's wrecked journey began the night before the crucifixion, when he laid his head on the breast of Christ. And he heard the heartbeat of Jesus. Again, not just the physical heartbeat, but the heartbeat of Jesus. And when he heard the heartbeat of Jesus, and he referred to himself after that always as the disciple whom Jesus was always loving, I believe he also heard something more than he loved them so much he would be prepared to die. I think he also heard something that Mary had not yet heard, and that was hope. The heartbeat of the gospel. That's why I love the fact that I did the John 3:16 as the gospel reading. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life is not just life spent forever in heaven. It's the quality of life that's heavenly that begins the moment we become Christians. It's the life and life more abundant that Jesus has promised in union with him. It's the life that Jesus lives, the heavenly life that Jesus lives. And so God's purpose, his love for us, was never meant to just hang on the cross to let you know he loves you so much he'll die for you. The story, the heartbeat of the New Testament's always been about new creation. That's the whole point. That's why God so loved the world. God so loving the world wasn't that he just thinks you're wonderful and has a great affection for you. If that's where you stop and your understanding of the love of God, then you'll forever only be talking about how God loves you, even though you're a terrible person, have been a terrible person, and God just loves you so much and loves me so much. Is that a great message? Yes, but it's only part of the gospel. If I see somebody in real trouble, and I have great compassion for them, and great affection for them, and I let them know, I just love you in your place, I just love you even though you are, but what if I could do something about it and not? What if not just my affection that I have, but I know that I have hope that I can change your situation? That's the ultimate expression of love. Not just my feelings for you, but that I'm able to do something about you in the situation that you're in. That's the gospel. That's the heartbeat of the New Testament. That's the part I don't think Mary really understood. I don't feel bad about her for that, because none of the other disciples did, except I think John. That's why John was the first one to believe, and everybody else had to have a revelation, an appearance of the risen Christ. He believed because it was easy for him to accept the fact that Jesus was risen. Because I believe when they're standing at the cross, Mary's feeling what she's feeling in terms of just the grief, his love, her love back for him, the massiveness of all that. But I think John is sitting there thinking, there's more than him dying here. Something else is dying here. The old is dying here. I'm dying here in him. Because if you remember, just before the Upper Room Discourse, the night before the crucifixion, it was in John chapter 12 where John recorded this. And he's the only disciple, only apostle that wrote this. He said, Jesus said, I give you an example. Thank you, Lord. Let me find the right one. Oh, wrong chapter. Sorry. I will get there. Truly, truly, I say to you, this is John chapter 12, verse 24, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. He who loses his life and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to eternal life. John understood. See, he wrote this gospel when he was 95 years old. So he wrote back, he wrote these things in sequence because he understood them then. That Jesus was saying, and he heard that in the heartbeat of Christ, that I've got to die so that there can be something wholly new raised up. It says in Romans 15:13 that God is a God of hope. God is a God of love, but God is also a God of hope. But the truth is, hope is one of the highest expressions of love. I think Mary there, her heart was just massively wrecked in a good way, just at how the demonstration of his love for her. Here, I believe, is The two responses. Verse 10 of Romans 5. This is the part Mary was getting, I think. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. That's love. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in His life. That's hope. And if your understanding of God's love doesn't include hope of new creation, then you'll spend your Christian life celebrating God's love, never really understanding that God intended to change you supernaturally. That was the hope. That's the heartbeat of the gospel. Not just God's massive affection for you, but God's hope to change you into something totally new, that we would be new creations in Christ Jesus. I believe it's possible that those are the two things going on as Mary and John. She had a revelation of His love. He also had a revelation of His love, but realized that love's intention was new creation. And as He was watching, He knew that that which needed to die was dying. It wasn't just Christ. And that on Easter morning, that empty tomb wasn't just the resurrection of Jesus, but was His own resurrection. Because that's the whole point of the gospel. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.